What's up, everybody? This is Paul Spatola. This is the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast. I'm back in the truck. Told you literally yesterday I was going to start doing shorts. So I wanted to clarify a couple things. The first thing I wanted to clarify is in my You Got Too Wide Part 1, I said I wanted to break that down a little bit further into more episodes, right? One of the things I realized is I haven't really shared what the phase plan looks like that I've built and reiterated on several different times. So me talking about getting too wide, I think I did a fair enough job explaining why I think I got too wide. I didn't follow a plan. I started buying out of order, you know, and buying out of order, of course, and that way led me to needing to purchase other things that I wasn't prepared to purchase, the trailer, bigger tent, more tables and chairs, right? But the interesting thing in the I got too wide was that the basic premise of all of that is that I started going off my plan. And in going off the plan, I got called out by my dad for not really executing on the work that I had. So I was buying more than I needed to buy. Some of those were great decisions. Some of those will be good decisions, but I was going off that plan, and in going off that plan, getting too wide wasn't turning all of my inventory over. In other words, I was just adding expense in labor in a small way. I was adding expense in storage, which for all of us is going to be, you know, can be a big expense. And of course I was adding more expense in the fact that I was buying stuff. So I'm going to dive back into that again, and I'm going to try to be a little more thoughtful when I get back to a part two, because part of the series I'm trying to build out of that is staying in your lane. And the staying in your lane is like two of my competitors around here have structure. Okay. One of those competitors has huge structure. They have glass. They do elevated flooring for their tents. They have the gorgeous tent flooring that they do. They have sailcloth. You know, they can do some absolutely magnificent things, whether it's putting out snow-loaded structure in the winter, which they do, or whether it's, you know, working with the absolute best event coordinators and planners around here. That's not my lane. You know, yesterday I said, hey, I'm going to draft this idea where I try to build this business to be self-functioning. That's new to me in the sense that my multi-phase plan involves me being there running the show. It does involve me hiring people and training people, like, yes, but it involves me being there running the show. So the getting too wide is also a good series and where I want to go in this series to dig into, because, you know, quite frankly, some of the purchases that I made over the last several years, really, they've all panned out. But when I got to the third phase of my 5 or 6 phase game plan, I wanted that eighth tent to be a 30 wide or a 40 wide, because I would then be prepared to quit my job. That's where, maybe I've said that before, but one of the missing links in you guys not really understanding how big the phase gets or how each phase works. Again, no YouTube channel, is getting that 30 wide, getting that 40 wide really is the point of getting the hires, taking the next step, leaving what used to be in this game plan, my corporate job. I'm not working my corporate job anymore. I have a different opportunity here with my scheduling as a firefighter. So I'm going to jump back into this. I'm going to put some thought into it, and I'm going to try to keep that going. Because I think it's worthwhile. And honestly, it's worthwhile because one of the problems that any of us have, any human being, no matter what you're doing, is a lot of us like to chase the carrot. If you're not ultra motivated, the carrot doesn't matter to you. But I haven't met a tent rental person yet who isn't motivated by trying to get that extra dollar. So the getting too wide is saying, hey, I'm being as patient as I can stand, and it hurts, to be honest with you. But the whole point of I got too wide, and that's not necessarily a good thing, is if I stay in my lane, I keep these 20 by 20s rolling, I've got a 30 wide now. If I stay in my lane and I keep it small, I'll have all the controls I need, and it will be less dangerous. It will be less risky. It'll be more calculated, and I'll be able to do all of those things really, really, really well. So hopefully I can come up with a good way to dig into this a little further and not just simply reiterate some other points that I've made. But I wanted to get that out there because I think it's valuable, and I think it's valuable based on one of my tent muse. I think I said that before. Somebody that I worked with when I was doing some of that consulting. This is kind of a brainchild of his, where he was calling me out and saying, hey, like, you gotta move the equipment that you got, maximize what you have before you start getting bigger and start buying stuff for air quote no good reason. Second thing I wanted to do on this short was clarify something that I said multiple times yesterday, and I was only just realizing as I was thinking about it. Fun fact, I don't often listen to the podcast before I send it out. If I feel like it was okay, then I send it. That's kind of how I operate. I do a lot of things on data, but I do more things on gut. So I wanted to clarify. I actually do indeed have 7/10. I kept saying 6. I had 8. So I completed phase 3. And I told you I did not complete that portion of the phase. I overlooked the fact that one of the tents that I have, I've only been using for a long term since I bought it. So in a day-to-day operation, it's not available to me to use. So I wanted to clarify, I did actually get to the eighth tent and the third phase. I was still accurate in saying I need more tables and chairs, which is why last November I didn't want to push that quickly that hard this year. Because I need that trailer, I need those other things. I'm not making enough money off this business to just keep reinvesting large sums. When I got the 30 wide, which was earlier this year, I knew last year, and you heard from me last year, that I was going to have to get rid of one of those 20 by 20s. So I wanted to clarify that I am at 7. I was at 8. I did get to almost all of my third phase, which was an 8-tent setup. Now, another piece of this puzzle is, I said yesterday, the 137, you're going to hear me refer to this as 127, 137. I don't think I explained that well enough, and this is supposed to be a short, but the 137 or the 127 is a theory that I put on paper that helps me look at expansion. From my original 5 or 6 phase plan, that plan wasn't built out into anything other than you need to get to this place, do the best you can in terms of your inventory, then start working towards the next phase. The 1-2 or 1-3-7 theory will actually get those things accomplished faster, and it will get those things accomplished in a more effective manner. The reason for that is it's designed to duplicate. So, high level, the one, that's the manager, that's the supervisor, that's the business unit, the branch, the division, okay, whatever. The theory is built on, this is a scale theory. We're using this to scale. The one is me because I'm still small. The two or the three initially is helpers, people who are going to assist me. It doesn't matter if it's labor. It doesn't matter if it's my dad, you know, helping me because I forgot to file something with the state. Like, it doesn't matter. The two is people, okay? The two can also be days. The two can also be trucks, and we'll get into this further. The seven is always going to be the tent. It's also always going to be 7 days. We have 7 days in a week. I came up with the idea, thinking, what is the least amount of help I can have with the most amount of tents across one single week that I can do effectively? So One is owner, business, manager, division, branch, whatever. Two or three is people. It can also be trucks as this gets bigger, or trailers as it gets bigger. It can be days as it gets bigger. Seven always is going to be the tent or the inventory or the item, and 7 days. How much work can three people get done over the course of 7 days? One person needs to be in control. That's going to be us, the people listening, me, you guys. We're going to need to be able to keep in control, a span of control over this whole entire thing. So really, one person is responsible for two or three people who are responsible for seven tents over the course of 7 days. The reason I got to this point was I said, okay, if I get to my phase three, 8 tents, will I actually be able to get all of those out? You know, normally, traditionally, I do Friday deliveries and Monday pickups. Well, my schedule doesn't allow for that as a normal or a solid. So I ask my clients if I can do installs on Thursdays. I ask my clients if I can do pickups on Mondays and Tuesdays. I think a lot of us do things like this to make our lives easier. Go back to 137, 127, whatever. In my area, I can get almost anywhere in the county in roughly 20 to 25 minutes. It's a big county. It's easy to navigate, which is beneficial, okay? I'm not in the center of my county any longer, which makes some of the drive quite a bit longer. I'm on the east side of my county. Where this is important is if I have one person in control, whether it's me or it's not me, and I have two other helpers, that's 1, 2, the three of us can now accomplish, in my theory, 7 total tents in the course of 7 days. Newsflash, that's not a newsflash to most of you. Three people who know what they're doing can do a lot more than that over the course of 7 days. That's an important factor for all of us to consider as we talk about this being a duplicator, okay? Me and one other person, now it's two, right? Me and one other person can knock out 20 by 20s, 20 by 30s in a couple days, Thursdays and Fridays, no big deal. I like to consider the drive time because I'm not large enough as a business to route 7 tents in one zip code. I do not have enough clientele to warrant something like that. So I look at that as a breakdown. The two or three become people, but it also becomes days. If it's 2 days, it's Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. If it's 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday. Okay? Where this becomes important is those two or three people total, me included, or three plus me, should be able to knock out 20 by 20s, 20 by 30s, and let's say a 30 by 60, or maybe a 40 by 100. The way that's going to go down is this. As the business grows and I get wider than I want to be, got too wide, I'm going to do all of my big tents, in this case, a 30 by 60, on a Wednesday. That's going to be a hard, absolutely have to, no questions asked, generally speaking, that has to be the plan. If somebody wants me to put up a 30 by 60 for their wedding, I have to set it up on Wednesday. I can pick it up whenever I want, but Wednesday's my install. Okay? That leaves enough time in the day when I'm done with that tent to get me and my crew back to the shop on that Wednesday to load the trailer for Thursday. Thursday, we're going to do the best possible route we can with our 20 by 20s, 20 by 30s, and 20 by 40s. Okay? We're going to do the exact same thing at the end of that day, Thursday, for Friday. This is not new to almost any of you listening that have more than three tents. You got to schedule the whole thing out, right? Well, the theory is also rooted in the fact that a lot of us buy shit as we see fit. We see a good opportunity. We think there's a hole in the market, so we buy one random thing, and then sometimes we don't think that through. Sometimes we buy 200 Shivari chairs because we had a couple people ask for it, or someone that we trust, or had drinks with this guy or this girl, and they said, yeah, Shivari chairs are coming back. So you're like, okay, man, I'm going to drop $4,000 on Shivari chairs. Well, if the plan isn't in place to get those Shivari chairs moved across your entire organization, that could be a huge problem for you. And $4,000 might not be a problem, but if you've got the rest of your overhead, you know, the expenses add up. So with 1, 2, or 3, 7, 1, 3, 7, 1, 2, 7, this is a multiplier, a duplicator. Once we have the one truck committed, just one, whether it's a trailer or a truck, that crew of you plus two people or you plus three people or you doing office stuff and the three people on the road, that's one crew, one trailer or truck across Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or across the week. They have their weekend off. They come back in on Monday. You guys knock all of your pickups out on Mondays and Tuesdays. Hopefully there's enough time for you to have some downtime on Wednesday and get some shop work done or office work or repair or clean or whatever. And then the whole entire thing restarts again on Wednesday with your big tent. Let's talk about the duplicator here. The one is still going to be you. It can still be a division. It can still be a branch. It can still be a component of your business. This is going to be important as your business gets larger. And honestly, this is probably how I'm going to go further into the scaling and building this business to, building the theory of this business to run itself. Like, I think I already came up with the answer to this in the 1-3-7 theory. If you are in control of those three people who are in control of those three tents with that one rig, you can duplicate that. And that's exactly what this is built for. It's not built for, hey, I want to buy some extra random stuff, which I am guilty of. Okay. I'm not telling you that I haven't done it. I'm guilty of that. But we buy, we take the 1-3-7 and we literally duplicate it. 100% duplication. In my math, in my Excel math, if I were to use a 30 by 60 dance floor, sidewall, all the stuff, if I were to do that in my 1-3-7 and I could get two or three people to help me on a very regular cadence, that should be about $150,000 in revenue based on my pricing. Okay. It's sort of interesting because the 20 by 20, that's $500 as a loose number. The 20 by 30, that's $700 as a loose number. The 20 by 40, that's about $1,000 loose number, right? So that whole cluster, 3, 2, and 1, 3 20 by 20s, 2 20 by 30s, 1 20 by 40, that whole cluster by itself is like $3,200. Well, since we're talking about 8 or 7, I need another tent. The other tent is big. It's a 30 by 60. That whole thing, dance floor as a generality, normal white folding chairs, like bare bone basics, you know, that brings our $3,200 up to really probably about, we'll say 55. So if you can do that 55 times 25, you know, that turns out to be a pretty decent number. Now, I say 150 because people need other things. They need linen. They want nicer chairs. I have resin chairs. They want sidewall. That adds to the ticket. They want lights. That adds to the ticket. They want you to set stuff up for them. That adds to the ticket, right? So I looked at it and said, how could I make this a $150,000 business real quick with the equipment that I can handle by myself, with a control factor that I can keep control over, again, span of control. 3 to 7 people is the best possible span of control based on firefighting, at least. And we take that and we go, okay, now I got me as the one, I'm the branch, I'm the division. I've got two or three people helping. That's who you're controlling over the course of 2 or 3 days for the install, 2 or 3 days for the takedown. That's 7 in a week. And I've got 7 total tents. So let's talk duplication. If I were to follow my own 1-2-1-3-7 rule, the idea here is that I don't buy anything else outside of what I need to service just the base package of those 7 tents. Okay? The idea is that I pocket basically all the money I can in the bank, not in my pocket, but in the business account. I pocket all the money I can so that I can go out, buy another trailer or another truck, same size as the one I have, or maybe slightly bigger, and then buy all the same stuff. Three more 20 by 20s, two more 20 by 30s, one more 20 by 40, and then bing, 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 a 40 by 100, 40 by 120, whatever. This is based on my market. I think most of you can understand that if you had 20 20 by 20s, there is a very, very high chance for almost any of us that one weekend we could get all of those tents out. In my market, that's an absolute for sure. Okay? I don't think that's a reality for every single weekend. So the getting too wide conversation from last year and a little bit yesterday and a little bit this morning, the getting too wide conversation becomes really, really important if I'm looking at my 1-3-7 theory for scaling. I can only get to a place where I have so many 20 by 20s. I'm not, realistically, I am not in my market going to make 6 20 by 20s roll out the door, that is, 25 times a year in my market. There are several weekends where I know that could be true, but that's not going to be every single weekend. All right. If I have up to, this is on the duplication now. If I have up to 4 20 by 30s, there is a really strong chance that I'm going to be able to move those a whole lot. I don't think it's every year is 25 turns, but certain weekends, certain instances, yes, we're going to move 4 of those 20 by 30s on a regular cadence. 2 20 by 40s. For my market, that's a very, very popular size. It's just big enough for you to have your kind of larger family party, graduation, bridal shower, whatever, but it's just too small to have, we'll say, like a normal size wedding, right? Understandable, totally understandable. So getting two of those bad boys moved out with a regular cadence, absolutely doable. 25 times a year each, not so sure, but highly likely. So you can see here how if it all happens the way I'm saying it happens, you're going to move your 30 wide, you're going to move your 40 wide, you're going to move your, you know, now 12 other smaller tents. The duplication is you got to save up a whole shitload of money so you can buy the new trailer, you can buy the second truck, you can buy the bigger tent, you can buy the other smaller, and it's right away, you got to make a hard push to get them all moved. The reason this makes sense to me in my area is I'm pretty darn certain that I'm going to get a minimum, 10 rentals on any one of those tents. If I had 6 20 by 20s right now, and I had 4 20 by 30s right now, and I had 2 20 by 40s right now, and I had a 30 by 60, and I had a 40 by 100 right now, I am certain that if I was paying attention to this business, I would move those all at least 10 times, certain of it. I'm certain of it because I've done it here. I've seen it happen. I'm also certain that if I duplicate that again, or one times that again, and I go from 1-3-7 to, let's say, 2-6-14, right? 3-9-21. If I do that again, and I get up to 21 total tents, there is almost no way that I'm not going to fill the rest of those gaps with other stuff. I'm going to need all those tables and chairs. I'm going to need all of that sidewall. I'm going to need other things. Getting up to 21 tents in my market using this exact kind of setup or theory, if I do that, then this is definitely pushing a $300,000 business. Zero question. The question then becomes, can my sales apparatus, let's go back to the one, I'm in control, one. I'm the division, I'm the branch, I'm the whatever. I'm going to need to make sure that I'm putting other people in other places. Absolutely going to need that. That's too many tents to handle all by myself unless I was doing this 100% full time. So the one, you being the supervisor or the supervisor, still ends up being important, right? The span of control there is going to be critical in the theory. The one person is now, let's say, the manager. That might be a manager of a branch or a division of the company. If there's one person there and they do sales, their job is to duplicate all of their effort so that they need to have their own version of a 1-2-1-3-7. They need to get to the sales spot, or I need to get them to a sales spot where they have at least two or three people that are under them or report to them. That's how this scales. If I'm the lead out on the road and I said, hey, I'm one of three leads because I've got three crews doing a total of 21 tents. Sorry about that. I ended up getting a phone call in the middle of that. So I left off with, if I'm the lead on the road, we're at the three total crews now, right? Nine people. If I'm the lead on the road, I'm going to need to figure out, I need, as the owner, I should say, need to get those three leads into a position where one of those people takes over as the one. One of those people needs to be my ops manager, needs to be my logistics coordinator, needs to be my routing person, needs to be the operations manager is really what it comes down to. Now they have their own newer-ish version of a 1-3-7. The 7 doesn't work in this specific instance because their 7 is technically 21, right? But they become the one. They are now overseeing three crews doing what really should be 7 tents any one of those days. That's the Wednesday, that's the Thursday, that's the Friday, right? It all works out so that that is exactly how it goes every single time. One ops manager in this instance oversees three crews or three trucks, which is really 9 people, right? Which is really 7 tents in that one given day, if you think of it that one specific way, over the course of the 7 days of the week, okay? That right there is the premise of this theory. Now, this is also its own kind of version of how do I make this thing run itself, right? I sort of came up with this to try to figure out how I could use the data to scale. But I think this is sort of the ticket. I think it keeps everything in control. I think it allows you or me as the business owner to have an overall control of everything that's going on. I think it gives it us easy targets, if you will, from a sales apparatus to say, hey, we got to make sure we turn every single thing we have over 10 times, not getting too wide because I'm not buying absolutely anything that somebody's asking for. I'm sticking to my basics, if you think of it that way, white folding chairs, white padded chairs, 6-foot tables, 8-foot tables, 60-inch rounds or 5-foot rounds, depending on how you call them, you know, 20 by 20s, 20 by 30s, 20 by 40s, 30 by 60 pole tent, 40 by 100 or larger pole. If this keeps going, if we go for a fourth time, that goes up one. Now, we have, let's say, one 30 by 60 pole tent. We have one 40 by 100 or 40 by 120 pole tent. We got another 40 wide. That would make sense in my market, at least as it relates to pole tents. If you go for a fourth iteration, that to me, depending on, again, this is completely depending on your market, that to me turns into, okay, now I can go back and I can start buying frame tents, or I can start evening out what I have in terms of my pole to frame ratio. If I'm doing this, exactly, like Paul Spatola is doing this exactly, all of that first 7 for me should have been straight up pole tents. I have a couple poles. I have 2 high peak frame tents, but that's what I have today. If I was going to follow this scale myself, my second purchase or my second 1-3-7
would almost certainly be all frame tents on the 20 wide side, but would still be a pole tent on my second big tent, which would be 40. Okay. In this instance, going up to the third iteration of the 137, at that specific point, I'd probably take a look at a mixture of pole to frame ratio with the 20 wides. My market is very heavy on pole tent. So if I wanted to get into festivals, I would mostly use framing so that I could handle a bigger festival job where I needed, 15, 20 by 20s, 6 or 7, 20 by 30s and 40s, and then a couple 30 and 40 wide frames. Like, that would make sense to me if I was trying to do festival work. I personally, Paul Spatola, if I ever did this, and I really don't think I will, I'm not going to get to that point where I'm trying to take market share from the festival side. The other bigger companies that are here, they do an incredible job. One of them in particular basically has full market share on all of the festivals. I'm not going to win. I know I'm not going to win that. And if I do win it, it's only going to be on price. And if I win on price, they're going to have to respond to that. They're going to have to drop their prices. We're going to get into a price war. That's not good for anybody. So personally, or I should say professionally, I'm not going to do that exactly. If you're listening and you're looking for an opportunity to scale and you want to get into the festival market and you want to be able to do just enough but not buy absolutely everything that you need, this probably will work fairly well for you. But it's critical that you think about keeping everything on balance. The whole point of this is to keep control and keep balance. That's the whole entire point. If I know that my first 7 tents are all pole tents and I can save up a little extra money, my second 7 tents can all be framed. Now you need trailers, you need block and roll, you need more equipment, which makes that second iteration of this a little bit harder in terms of financing. But if everything is aligned, then when you get to the third iteration, now we can play with anything we want as it relates to summer frame, summer pole. If you really want to get crafty and you want to get a little bit wider because you have your controls in place, or you just want to get wider because you want more inventory to put out to market, maybe the third iteration of this is all 10 by 10s. The third iteration of your 7 tents is 10 by 10s. Maybe that's what you need to get 2 of the festival jobs that you have, because they want 7 10 by 10s and a couple 20 by 20s and a 40 by 100, right? I can't say exactly what each iteration of 7 is supposed to be, but I'm telling you, with my theory, it's all based on 20 by 20, 20 by 30, 20 by 40, 30 by 60, 40 by 100. That right there in Paul Spatola's brain is the unequivocal bread and butter size of all the things that we need. You're going to get requests for 10 by 20s. You're going to get requests for 15 by 15s. You're going to get requests for those because people have patios. People don't want to spend the extra $5 or $50 to get the bigger tent. You're going to have that because you'll have restrictions in where you can install and how you can install it. I'm not telling you shouldn't buy West Coast 15 wide because one of those festivals wants a 15 by 60. I'm not saying you shouldn't make that decision. What I am saying is I'd try to talk them into a similar square foot size and don't buy the 15. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you say to them, nope, we have 20 wide and we think the best bang for your buck is going to be a 20 by 60 instead of a 15 by 60. And if you got to shave the price a little bit to get that, then fine, do it. But if you're using all 20 by 20 high peaks, you just bought those bad boys together, get some gutters in there, and bada bing, bada boom, you got a little wider because now you've got gutters. But hey, that's how it goes. And on that same note, I think something that I absolutely have hated is the rise, and I don't hate this. It's not good for me where I am. The rise of the use of 20 by 20 high peaks is very, very interesting to me. It's interesting because from a rental operator perspective, it obviously is useful. 2 people can put up a 20 by 20 high peak with almost no problem at all, right? The reason it's a problem for me is my whole mindset has been, what happens if I have to do this by myself? That's why I don't want to get big. That's why I like using pole tents. That, and plus pole tents go out a lot around me. There's a lot of green space here. You know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, maybe this 1-3, maybe I should listen to this again and write this down, or I should call or text Paul and talk to him about this. Like, if it makes sense for you, and I have one person that I like to argue with about this, their whole thing was all 20 by 20s, period, all of them should be 20 by 20 high peak. No more 20 by 20 pole tent. You should never have another 20 by 20 pole tent ever. If you really want to have 20 by 30 and 20 by 40 pole tents, fine. Go off and you can get those, but don't ever buy another 20 by 20 pole. That's a fine argument. I understand the position. It streamlines certain portions of this process. But for me, as the small guy, I said bottom feeder yesterday. I really hope that you guys did not take that offensively. I wasn't trying to be offensive when I said bottom feeder. I promise you, I wasn't trying to be a jerk when I said that. So please, if I offended you, I did not mean to do that. But to get back to using all 20 by 20 high peaks, gives you some options. In fact, in the 137, one of the challenges I got from my buddy, who is my muse, was, why would you buy 20 by 30s at all? Why would you buy 20 by 40s at all? Why wouldn't you take the same exact 12, okay, 12 being the 20 wides in this case? Why wouldn't those all be 20 by 20 high peak frame tents with gutters? Now, you don't need to worry about 20 by 30 pole and 20 by 40 pole. You just don't sell 20 by 30. If somebody needs a 64-person event, the only thing you have available is 20 by 20s or 20 by 40s. And I thought, well, that's a good question. Probably because I like to have personally, professionally, I like to have the variation. Also, personally, professionally, it kind of mixes stuff up a little bit. Also, personally, professionally, I can put up all of those pole tents by myself if I really need to. And that came down to making this theory that had a variety of options for our clients. So, yes, I know I just threw a different wrench in there after talking this out, but hey, this to me seems like the way. This seems like the way that we could make scaling this business using specific data and specific information work. I think we left last off on like the fourth iteration. So when I wrote my multiple phase plan, my end document was, I think I got to a place where it was something like, it was like 50 total tents. Okay. Within that 50 total tents, I had 10 by 10s. I had 20 by 20s through 20 by 40s. I had, I think, a 30 by 60 pole tent and a 30 by 75 frame tent. I think it was 140 by 120 pole and 140 by 100 frame. You know, 8-footers, 6-footers, cocktail tables or bistro tables, you know, 1,500 chairs that were white folding, maybe like 400 white padded. But if you listen to anything I just said, that's the whole kit and caboodle. You know, since then, I've thought about, man, I should really get into some structure. Since then, I've thought about all the various things that I was selling and was doing and said, well, I mean, is it going to hurt to have another huge player in this market? And honestly, I think the answer is yes. I don't think for my specific market, I would do all that well if I started bringing in structure and tried to take market share away from the guys that are doing it right now. I legit don't think that's a good idea for me. If I wanted to go off my why didn't I think about building Amazon concept, there's a whole different line of thought process in that for me. The getting to the building the Amazon thing to me starts with testing out if the 137 works. I believe it will. My version of this is what we just talked about over the last, 40 minutes. I said this was going to be a short and I ended up going off and driving around in circles to keep talking. So that is in its own essence, the 137. Once you get past the fourth iteration of that, I don't know how well the duplication or the multiplication of this works, because I believe at that point, depending on your market, that's when you need to start going off on variables. That's when you need to make a determination on, do you want to do higher scale weddings? Do you want to have sailcloth at that point? Do you want to start mixing up and getting out of regular white folding chairs and get your shivari chairs and your crossback and anything else that's getting kind of fancy and sexy out there? For me, it's never, ever going to be how I do this, ever. I'm never going to get back into doing weddings on high scale because, honestly, I have had just the worst experiences ever. We've done some incredible weddings, and I've had some amazing experiences, but the headache of dealing with weddings to me is a definite absolutely not. I am a firefighter. I see some crazy shit. I do some crazy shit. And this is one of the most stressful industries you can work in, which is, first of all, logistics, but second of all, event planning. Like, not joking, look that up. Event planning is one of the most stressful industries or positions you can have in any career field. You know what one of the other ones is? Firefighter. So I don't need to add more stress to my life by saying I'm going to get real fancy and do some real cool shit for weddings. If I'm going to do anything real cool, my real cool is going to be maybe, and I highly doubt it, trying to get back into the festival game because I had a lot of fun doing that. But I'm telling you, sincerely, I don't want that heat. I don't want to go in and go to war with the big players around me. I want to stick around here and put up a tent for the church. I want to stick around here and, you know, do the local soccer tournament that takes two or three tents out. You know, I want to do the backyard stuff, and I want to do it really, really well, and I want to do it really, really effectively, and I want to have some fun doing it. And I don't think that, for me, I'm not going to try to look at this like I will scale, but I am going to keep on this path of figuring out what it would look like to build this business to run itself. So I know this is now two in a row back to back, and I really appreciate you. We already had 20 listens, which was pretty sick. As of 8 o'clock this morning, I had 20 listens, which I was totally not expecting. So that was kind of cool. It's 11:15 right now on the East Coast. So I'll be really curious to see, you know, what this looks like at the end of the day. Also, fun fact, yesterday was the first time that I figured out that there was 160 people that actually regularly listened to this. So as I was going to sleep last night, I thought to myself, you know, that is so awesome. And I'm really, really, really grateful for all of you guys for sticking with me and sticking with this. I want to apologize for the fact that this got cut off in the middle. So forgive this if it's a little sloppy. But like I said, I wanted to make sure I reiterated a couple things from yesterday. I did get to 8, which was phase 3 in terms of tents. And I kept saying 6 yesterday. It really should be 7 because I threw one away. So I'm sorry for that, you know, that misinformation. I did get the 30x60, which the last couple podcasts I said I wasn't going to do this year. So again, doing things I said I won't do, which is also advice that I'm trying to give out, which is don't do what I do all the time in those kind of instances. And then, of course, I really want to apologize for a third time on the bottom feeder comment. I thought about that, and that was a little bit classless. And I know most of us, I don't think all of you are going to be offended, but for anyone that I did offend, I really am sorry. So thank you for the gift of your time. This is Paul Spatola. This is the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast. Call me, text me, email me, send me your questions, send me your concerns, send me the things you want to talk about. Let's start getting interactive here. And again, thank you.